Call meeting order for Historic Preservation Commission for Thursday, April 4th, 2019. Thanks everybody who's able to make this change in date, and we've had a couple amendments to the agenda since we've made the changes and so forth. We need to call the meeting to order. We need to have the official roll call, please.
Mark Silver Hunter.
Here.
Tim Overbuckling.
Here.
Todd McNall.
Here.
Ron Moosman.
Here.
Ron Lauer.
Here.
Crystal Walter. Diana Pagan.
Present.
Arthur Kim.
Here.
Okay, I'd like to first acknowledge any guests that we have. If you could let us know what your item you're here for on the agenda. And that would be very helpful.
My name's Alan Durka. I'm here for the 74 16th Avenue Southwest.
74 16th Avenue Southwest on the action items, okay. So you're here for the 30th?
I'm here for 2149 35th Avenue Southwest.
30th Avenue, yep, we just saw each other recently. Very good. Cindy?
Cindy Hennish, see our heritage, just watching, observing.
Did the guests want to announce themselves, or?
Yeah, I'm Richard Keith from Burlington, from our historic trust for preservation. We're here because we're on heritage.
Oh, so you're here for observers, not for any official business or agenda item or anything like that?
We're here to talk you out of Karen Building.
Well, we'll see how we do.
We do that ourselves if we can.
Thank you all of you for guests. Thank you very much. And we'll try to accommodate the guests that are here for action items as best we can. We have the official public comment period of the meeting. This is a moment when any member of the public is welcome to speak. Keep a minimum to 5 minutes if there's anyone that wishes to do that, related particularly to agenda items on today. So, anyone wish to do that? Seeing none? I just think how council does that, Sylvia. How they always say, Lauren's like, official public comment period is over or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to approve the meeting minutes from the last meeting, which was actually Thursday, March 14th, and we'll need a motion to approve and second those, to approve those minutes. And make sure everyone had a chance to look over. Yes, Ron?
One of the things I noticed that was missing is in the presentations for the last meeting, the two-way street conversion presentation was missing from that.
Oh. Make sure that gets added to the official minutes. That did happen.
We can make that note.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Any other changes, corrections, modifications to the minutes? March 14th.
Motion to approve the amended minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you, everyone. We do have a presentation today, but I would...
We do not have any presentations.
Oh, I see it's on the agenda.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
But there is not...
No presentations.
Okay, so we'll strike that from the agenda. We actually don't...
Which one's that?
Number three says presentations are actually or not any presentations. So I'd like to have us to go ahead to item four, action items, and if it's agreeable to the rest of the commission, two of the five action items, we do have guests here related to two of them, and if we're okay with that, we can go ahead and address those two first to accommodate their time today. So either of you have someone, do you want to go first, sir? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you can come up here, you can stay there. We'll have the staff present about it first, and then you can just be here and be available and answer or ask questions.
Okay.
Thank you. And so this gentleman, I met him a little bit earlier today. He's related to action item four, A1, which is a demolition review for primary residential structure at 2129 33rd Avenue Southwest, which just happens to be first on the list. So, yeah. Okay.
Hopefully the presentation comes back. The structure for demolition is a one-story residential building. It was built in 1900 and it has not been surveyed. Let's see if I can get this back up there. that worked.
Yep.
So this is the location. It's on 33rd Southwest, at the corner of 21st Street Southwest. Mm-hmm. Here's an image of the structure. Since there's no evidence of historic significance, this is a poor candidate for local landmarking, and staff is recommending immediate release.
I did some historic checks on it. I didn't find any history of the house with any historic significance. 33rd Avenue is a former county or country road that's been widened in recent years by the city when they attached it to the, it was more connected to the Interstate 380 area. I actually met the gentleman here earlier this afternoon and was out taking some exterior photographs of the property, so I've actually done that as well. So I don't, as a historian on the commission, I don't have any information that would preclude it from being approved for demolition. So does any of the commission members have questions for representative of the property or ourselves? Yeah, Todd?
Move to allow demolition.
Okay.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
We don't have any questions for you.
Thank you.
You're okay. You just work with the city staff and they will let you know the next steps.
So. You can come pick up the building permit from the City Services Center tomorrow. We'll pass this information on to them.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you for coming. Anyway, thank you. It was good to meet you earlier. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, we'd like to move down to respect for the time of our guest. We are going to zip down to action item 4A5. Which is a facade, not a demolition, but a facade structure modification for a commercial building in the Czech Village. And my understanding is we have the representative of the building here. 7476, is that true? Two addresses or just one?
Just one.
Just one address. You need to make that correct. Is it 76?
74.
Oh, 74. So the building only has. So I guess I want to clarify how many buildings we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If they thought it was just a one-story building, you've got two buildings marked on the map there. So, go ahead, sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead, sorry.
The reason for that is possibly because it's currently on a parcel with some other buildings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that might be why we marked it that way, but.
Okay.
So the building was built in 1926, and it's a contributing structure to the Bohemian Commercial National Historic District. What the applicant has indicated that they're doing is updating the storefront, taking down the existing 4-foot knee wall and adding a 20-inch knee wall, and then replacing the glass and using anodized steel trim. The historic proportions of the windows will be maintained, and then they're also widening the recessed entryway to provide ADA accessibility. So are the changes on both buildings? In the image we saw, it looked like it was both buildings. Had the windows being changed? These
is it
two?
Two-story?
Is it?
Yeah, is it the two-story and the one-story?
It's the one-story.
Just the one on the left?
Only the one-story, not the two-story.
Okay. I may have misunderstood the application.
Okay. Well, historically, the two-story has been 72 16th Avenue, the one-story has been 74.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what their address status is right now, officially with the assessor.
Okay. I'll make sure we clarify before.
The two buildings have been combined in recent decades as like as one business, so they may have only been going by one. But, you know, that kind of gets mixed up over time. Okay. So you have nothing to do with the two-story. Okay, just the one story
okay.
We're talking about today.
So this is the image that was passed on from Development Services. So we're just looking at the left-hand side. And you can see where this blue knee wall is. They're replacing that with a lower one and then changing that treeway a bit, which is why that's a facade structure modification, because they're changing the window openings. So this is a contributing structure to the historic district, but we believe that this facade structure modification is preserving the historic character of the building, and so we recommend release. With a facade structure modification, the role of the commission is to determine the historic significance of the property. If it's found to be historically significant, you have the option to place up to a 60-day hold. To explore any other alternatives if you think it's necessary. Otherwise, you're free to release as well. And these are the criteria for historic significance as a refresher. That's all I have on that. If you have any questions.
Yeah, so that is Ann and Al are here to potentially answer any questions for us that we might have as a commission. So, yes, Tom, I'm sorry.
You go back to the image.
The current or the sketch?
The proposed.
Yeah.
Is that one of the images that's provided by Main Street, Iowa, that they did? Is that done by a local architect or something?
Yes. We got that from Main Street. However, we kind of mocked up our side. Is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they only did the other building, not your building? Or did they mock up both? Did they do the image of both buildings?
No, just the 72. So our building was left alone.
And they're mocked up. Okay. And that's not an original storefront in there right now, correct?
No.
No, if you look at the current, go back to the current photograph, you can see, fortunately, over history, over time, the openings of the brick facade haven't been altered. So I mean, as far as the general opening in the wall, but obviously the materials have changed over time, as far as glass and other elements in there.
What's above? What's behind the awning?
Yeah, what is behind the awning? Is there any older clerestory windows of any kind?
No, there's transom windows and more
transom
brick at the very top.
Right. So there's transom. Are they? Do they look like original transom windows? I can't remember.
They're clad in that same aluminum.
Same aluminum. Okay.
So there are transom, but they're, like you said, they're basically aluminum frame.
Yeah.
Okay. So it looks like all the original materials are long gone.
Are you infilling that area, or are you extending your new facade up that far?
The windows would go up to where they are existing.
Toward the transom.
Where the transom.
Okay. All the way up to the brick or the lintel, the steel lintel.
Okay.
Can you go back to the image?
I mean, I don't have an issue because the brick facade is staying the same, and you know, this is typical Czech Village architecture that's it's much more early to mid 20th century simplified brick facade architecture where they, in this case, you have an elongated rectangular element, and that's really about it, other than the roof line there. So that's all being retained. The opening, the apertures are being retained. It looks like a traditional.
Can you zoom in on that anyway?
That picture looks like it's all one building.
Mm-hmm. The reason why it all looks like one building is because they look at the curtains. I don't think there's a break in the brick, is there?
Mm-hmm. It's been acting weird, so I don't want to go out of the room.
Is there a shared tool?
Keep going.
Okay.
No, if you can go back to the what it looks like today.
I'm a past member of the Main Street Board down there. I was on the Main Street Board for 9 years, and so I'm very familiar with the area down there. One of the things in your image I'd like to see, if possible, is putting in, if you'll see, let me get for a second. What I'd recommend, again, over here. Sorry, go back. See this. The datum line right here with the break, and so it looks like it's above the door, but then you have this transom here. When you guys build this facade, I would recommend coming back in and doing a header at some point at about the same datum line as the other one. And so then you retain the feel, and if you look at some of the other, I'm trying to remember which side of the street is this on.
This is on the north side. This is on the bandstand side, the north side.
Bandstand, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you look across the street, I think, and towards the riverside, I think there's a building there that has an original cast iron facade on it. I think it's one of Copper Alligator, maybe. Is that one that might be across? But if you look at that,
it's in Lion Bridge.
Or Lion Bridge. Now it's
right next to Lion Bridge.
It's yeah.
Found and formed now.
Right. There's a single brick that has the name.
What I would do is look at the proportions down there and come back in and put in, break up your windows. I like the larger thing down here, but add that transom line up here, And then you'll even go further back to the original feel that this building would have had. Do you know what color your aluminum frames are going to be? Are you looking for bronze or something like that?
Black.
Yeah. I think that'll look really nice when you're done. I just recommend kind of catching that datum line up there.
Because
did you see the difference
then? Yeah. What's on the two-story right now is still, they still have a transom level on the two-story, right?
Yeah, it seems like
this
nodding
over.
This picture
is a year old, I think.
The other image is our recommendations of what, from Main Street, Iowa, for what to do in that other building.
Yeah, see, the other building's got smaller windows put in, it doesn't,
I'd walk around, look at there's a couple down there of where people have done storefronts in wood. I don't necessarily recommend those. But if you look at the ones that are down there that are originally cast iron, and you look at them, they're pretty obvious that the original ones. I would look at those, kind of set up your proportions in the windows. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the commission? Do we want to entertain a motion to make that particular recommendation?
Yes, I'll make a recommendation. I think I already have, but now I've got to put in words.
Kind of sounds like you have, Todd, so yeah. Okay.
I would make a motion that we approve the improvements to the facade with the recommendation to the owners that they look at that. Just setting a datum line or a frame line at the bottom of what would be typically the transom and above the lower windows. And even that 20-inch line for the lower part, I would just have them, that's pretty close to probably what's other facades are down there. I think it would be an improvement. I think that's my motion.
I second.
Any, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next steps.
As a past Main Street member, I'd like to thank you guys for going down there and doing improvements. Any improvements down in that area greatly improved the area down there, so thank you.
So we'll pass that information on to building services, and you should be able to go pick up your permit tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you. Stay for us. We not sort of excited, but we don't have to. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
That's the same thing. Okay. That's a basic case.
Commission members, I'd like to, we've had additional guest Kim's here, and she's here for an agenda item. I know for sure it's for action item 4C, local historic district landmark designation application, and we'd be all amendable to going ahead and addressing that to be sensitive to your comments. Okay. You can stay there or come up here, up to you, or be available for questions.
I'll hang here.
Okay, that's fine. Right. Thanks, Kim. Okay, thank you.
So for you today, we have a local historic. Sorry, that's a typo in the agenda. Local historic landmark designation application for 1700 B Avenue Northeast, Cedar Park Presbyterian Church.
That needs to be Central Park.
Central Park. Sorry, we had some last minute additions, so we added these pretty quickly, but yeah, Central Park Presbyterian Church was the historic name, currently Mission of Hope. So this building was built in 1904, and it's listed on the National Register in the B Avenue Northeast Historic District as a contributing structure, and that was listed in 2013. This is considered a side steeple church, which is designated obviously where the steeple is located on the building. And the primary construction finished materials are brick and stone. It has rounded openings, and the steeple has an open belfry. So the neighborhood itself is listed on the National Register for Criteria C, which is for architecture. But Mark, in his application, also noted that the church's historic significance, both with events, so it was contributed to the development of the Central Park Mound View neighborhood. It has a connection to Grant Wood and also a connection to the William Waterhouse family, who were significant with the development of Central Park neighborhood, the church, and the blocks of 200 and 300 First Avenue in downtown through the 1870s and 80s. So here's the location of the church on B Avenue. And here's a current photo of the church. So staff recommends to advance this application to SHPO for review. Once we receive comments from them, it would go on to City Planning Commission and then to City Council.
Okay. Of course, as you notice, I helped put this together, and Kim is here representing the Mission of Hope for the owners and the folks that utilize the building.
Sylvia?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. How long has that been on the National Register?
I believe it said since
2013.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I think this would be the first local landmark within the Northeast Quadrant beyond the downtown area, which I think is important to kind of know. The Grace Episcopal Church has been designated a local landmark, but it's like barely in Northeast and downtown Cedar Rapids. But this would be an opportunity to be a local landmark in a neighborhood where we don't have one yet. And of course, we're very early in this program, and I think it's the building has really been kind of a architectural focus for the neighborhood. The church itself has its roots to the beginnings of the Mound View neighborhood. This William Waterhouse that I reference here, his old home still stands. It's a Civil War era home at 1844 B Avenue up the hill, and he started this church, and he was one of these major investors who came to Cedar Rapids at the urging of George Green. The Green Square is named after him, and invested heavily in commercial real estate. In fact, he built five entire blocks of downtown Cedar Rapids buildings, all with the Waterhouse name on it. Unfortunately, none of the buildings are here anymore, but they are in locations where today we have the U.S. Cellular Center, Theater Cedar Rapids, some of those locations, and literally doubled the size of First Avenue downtown in 5 years. So it's a significant connection to that person. Graham Wood has a history with the church. He grew up in the neighborhood. This is the only church structure in the Mountain View neighborhood, closest to Coe College. So it just seems like it just, you know, works on all different levels. And it was really designed to be a focus point for the neighborhood. And with its current occupant, it's really a focus point again. So it's really kind of a nice full circle story, which is why I bring it to all of you. And this is also an effort. Part of my being part of Friends of Cedar Rapids Historic Preservation as well. So does anyone else have any questions or comments or questions for me or Kim about the building?
So is it no longer a church?
No. Central Park Presbyterian Church was like every other Presbyterian church in town except for First Presbyterian. They were all offshoots of First Presbyterian. So as the city got bigger, other Presbyterian churches sprung out of First. In downtown Cedar Rapids, was a way to get Presbyterian Church to the Northeast Quadrant. And they had to come up with their own names, like West, you know, there's Westminster, there's Central Park. Central Park, what's also great about this building is that Central Park is the original historic name for this neighborhood. Before this neighborhood was built up with houses, this was an open, this is a fairgrounds, and the Iowa State Fair was actually held in this area in the 1870s. That's when they started to call it Central Park, even though it never later on had a park or was central or anything. The church was there until only about 10 to 15 years ago, and their membership had dwindled to the point where they couldn't sustain sustainability issues, and they actually merged their congregation with another Presbyterian church, the Kenwood Park Church, which was on C Avenue and 35th Street Northeast, and they combined their churches together, created a new congregation called Echo Hill Church, which is way out beyond the edge of the Northeast Quadrant. So that made this building available, and Mission of Hope has been occupied building for a number of years now. They've actually been to this Historic Preservation Commission several times over the years with some residential properties they've been working on restoring and utilizing in our Second and Third Avenue Historic District. So this is not their first time at HPC. That's always gives a long answer. I love the building. I think it's a great building. One feature that's kind of really cool about this is that when you look at the picture of it, when I did the research on this, it's a special kind of white brick. And this was a material that was kind of advertised as a wonder material by the King's Material Company in Cedar Rapids, which is now known as, well, it's called King's Crown Plaster in those days. It's now King's Material. And this was built in 1904. This is one of two churches that were built at the exact same time in Cedar Rapids. The other one was the what was later on known as the Salem Church on First Avenue West. And that was a major victim of the 2008 flood. So this is the only surviving example. It's another good reason to landmark it, because and King's advertised this brick material as completely maintenance-proof brick in 1904. You'll never have to make...
Lasting
forever. We've seen the ads for it. And I don't know if that turned out to be true or not. But it was something that, this is kind of a Cedar Rapids Builders material showcase as well. Yeah. Touch.
Are you looking for a motion?
Yeah.
I so move.
To submit
this as a local historic district landmark designation application. To submit their application, sorry. Whatever that word needs.
HPC approval, yes.
Yeah, okay. For HPC approval.
Yes. Second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Ron. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, Kim.
Thank you, guys. Great. We're really proud to be there. Mm-hmm. We want to keep the building there for a long time to come, so thank you.
We appreciate your interest in participating in this program and working together to preserve another local historic landmark. So thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
They have 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still waiting on the Bottle Works landmark designation.
Yeah.
So
on average, that's probably.
Well, they can be quicker.
Yeah.
But I checked in, and she said it's going to be closer to 45. So.
All right, let's go back to, I don't think we have any more guests related to agenda items. I don't think so anymore. So let's go ahead and get back to the regular order of agenda items that we kind of passed over, and that takes us back to the demolition reviews. A few more of those. For action item 4A2, residential structure at 410 Second Street Southwest. This is right next door to one we talked about at our last meeting.
So, structure for demolition is a two-story residential building built in 1905, and it was surveyed as eligible as part of a historic district in the reconnaissance survey in 2009. Here's a current photo of the house. And staff recommends, because it is eligible in a district, that HBC consider placing a hold due to the results of that survey.
This is a different staff assessment than the one we had last
time,
which was 402, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Right. We determined.
The reason that was the modifications.
Correct. We looked at this and we looked at the survey pictures, and it looks like it hasn't been as modified as the other house. So
this looks like it has its original porch and its three-section attic window there.
I love that.
This is one of, just remind everybody, was it, if you were here last time or not, the story about this is that this is one of four houses all lined up in a row. This is a way to increase the density of housing for the neighborhood. All four of these properties replaced one older house. The older house that dated back to the era when this was the town of Kingston before it became West Cedar Rapids. So one house was replaced by four duplicate houses, not duplicate, four houses that all looked alike in a row. But it's not a four-pack anymore. Just remind everyone that first one at 400 was demolished after the flood of 2008. I believe it was a city buyout part of that program, so that's gone. Also remind everyone that we did approve the demolition of the second one in, and this is the third one in. So if we do decide to put it on hold, it won't stop the demolition of the second one, and we'll just leave this one and the fourth one, which I don't believe is under consideration at this time. So that's kind of the history of what's going on at the site.
Is the fourth one unmodified too?
They've all, well, there have been modifications here because of siding, obviously. There's been newer siding put on here, and it looks like the original windows in the third floor have been taken out. It looks like they're just openings. The house is vacant right now. I went by there and took photographs, and all of its first floor original details were removed because it was just, the water was just too high in here. I think it looks like the water was at least 8-9 feet here in 2008. But the second floor still has all of its original trim. And so it's the third floor. So it doesn't affect our decision, of course, but it looks like there's plans for redevelopment in this area, as we've seen. Efforts to try to fill the gaps that were left empty after the flood.
All we can do is put a hold on it for 60 days and it will go away.
Right, and I, unless there's knowledge from anyone who should self-advocate for this, I don't know what can be done at this point. I can tell you it has been photographically documented, everything's been recorded. If that helps your decision a little bit. And all four of these in a row were all photo documented by several sources after the flood in 2008, so it's not like they have not been recorded.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think. Oh.
That's not possible.
I need to check with staff on that. So.
Are you representing the applicant or?
This house.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
The way the rules work is that you're connected with the property and you knew about it.
You have members of another HPC.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, they're from Burlington.
Yes. Yeah. So I can't ask.
Well, yeah, we had a public comment period at the beginning, so I think we'd be out of.
We'd be more than happy after the meeting to.
Yeah.
This photo wasn't available prior to the beginning of the meeting, no.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying on that.
Well, I know, but that's true, but the agenda's been out for a while.
This is just for an educational.
Right, but the agenda's out, and one thing we encourage the public and the commission members to do is go to the site and see. Yes, Todd, I'm sorry.
Is there any way that we can entertain the discussion with him? He's a fellow commissioner on another HPC meeting. It would be interesting to hear what he has to say.
I think after the meeting that would be appropriate. I think we can't do it during the
so,
the discussion and the voting for this
so
item.
So as chair, if a potential discussion with another commission member is impacting your decision whether to hold or not, then that.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I know the impact of our hold in 60 days it'll be gone.
Right, or it could be a limited hold.
Maybe we would be making a statement that we don't like to see this.
Right, and we want to recognize the fact that survey work was done and this was identified as a potential resource. We don't want to not acknowledge that.
Have there been any discussions of going up to the second floor and salvaging or doing any other, within the 60 days, is there anything that we can do?
Probably is potential from salvage of what I've talked about, the demolition contractor. I think that's possible. One thing that we've also done with some of these situations, if we want to put a hold until the next HPC meeting or set it another time and we can review it again, and that happens if you put it even on a 60-day hold, it's up for review and it doesn't mean it's on for the entire 60 days. If you think there's information or discussion that needs to happen to facilitate more information.
So the next meeting will be April 25th. So just
three weeks.
Is the person that represented the other one at the last meeting the same one?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
And, he was fairly cooperative at that point.
He was. So from the owner or developer demolition point of view, they can go ahead and tear down the other house, but this will just be on the
And he did kind of indicate at that point in time that they weren't time pressed for
Yes.
Getting it done, so I don't know.
I think, yeah, if someone wants to make a recommendation to hold, I think we just review that April 25th.
I'm making a motion because I feel like.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Wait, can you clarify what criteria you're using?
Can we use the survey?
It could yield.
Well.
So it has to be one of the four. So tied to events, tied to a person, tied to type of architecture, or tied to.
Wasn't it listed as, you said it was a contributing.
Correct.
Structure.
Right.
I'd use criteria C.
Yeah, we want to know the criteria. Yeah. So we can base it on the same reason that the staff recommends. That's okay.
And is that for, what was the time period?
Well, it's always 60 days of that.
60 day, but we will obviously review.
I just wanted to confirm whether it was for the 60 days or not.
It was for 60 days.
Okay.
For 60 days, and obviously we will review this at April 25th.
Arthur, did you make the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you seconded, just to?
I'll second it.
Okay.
And we all, I think we all did the all in favor.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There'll be discussion time for it, so. Very good. Next item on the agenda. Demolition review for residential property in a very commercial area, but it wasn't originally when it was built. 5909 6th Street Southwest.
Sophie Long?
Yep, I hear it. Structure for demolition is a two-story residential building, built in 1940 and has not been surveyed. Here's a current photo of the house. It's poor candidate for local landmarking, and there's no evidence for historic significance, so staff recommends immediate release.
Can you go back to the plat? Where is that?
Oh.
Sylvia?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Adam.
What was the address you're looking at?
We are on 5909 6th Street Southwest.
Okay, thank you.
This is one of the amended items to the agenda since we had our regular scheduled meeting. I have not had time to do historic research on this, and I'm going to recommend a hold because it may yield information on the criteria. That's supported by the fact that it has not been surveyed, so we just don't have the information collected yet. And I'm a little dubious at a 1940 date somewhat. I don't know, what do you think, Todd, when you look at the picture? But does it seem like it's older than 1940 to you?
It looks older to me.
It looks like it could be.
So I think, Todd, to answer your question, you asked where this was. So 6th Street is the main road. ADM is just a little bit north.
ADM's to the west, actually.
So it's really quite a ways out there in that whole industrial area.
To the northwest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I don't know that.
ADM's not on this side of the street, though.
No, it'd be on the west.
Right. So the Interstate 380 is just to the right of this. And this is actually across the street cut. Right on the other side of the street was where the old Twin Drive and movie theater used to be.
I wonder if this isn't an old farmhouse.
Oh, it is an old farmhouse. I know that. I know this is an old farmhouse as a historian, but I haven't had a chance to research it because it's a recent addition to the agenda. And I wanted to do the research on whose farm it was. And others did too, of course. And plus, there's been no photo documentation. I want to find out if that's possible for the owner, unless staff knows if that's a possibility or not. It looks like it's empty. It's about the last one. You know, we went over another one of these former firm properties within the last year on this side of 6th Street. And of course, this is all the area that's getting very heavily commercialized between the city and the airport. And there's some value in recording the earlier area of the history when this was all farm before it became expanded Cedar Rapids City. I'm just hesitant to allow demolition because I don't know if it will yield any history. I would hate to have a specific opportunity. So again, I would recommend 60-day review if someone wants to make that motion. And like the one we just had previously, we can have an opportunity to review that on April 25th, by which time we'll have more opportunity to gather information.
Motion to approve demolition of 60-day hold on it. Under the premise that it may yield some historical significance.
It's criteria. Do we call that criteria 4 or
that's
D?
D.
D. Yeah, criteria D.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We got one more. It's not a primary structure, it's an accessory structure. At the rear of residential property at 1615 K Avenue Northeast.
So the structure for demolition is a 16-foot by 18-foot accessory structure. It was built in 1920. The property was surveyed in the 2016 reconnaissance survey and was deemed not eligible. Here's an image of the garage. This is a poor candidate for local landmarking, and there's no evidence of historic significance, so we're recommending immediate release.
Can we go back to the picture?
Yeah.
Could be a local landmark.
I don't feel like we have any criteria for holding it, but at the same time, I think if there are interested parties in the community, one thing that's kind of nice about this, because I went by this too earlier today, and I noticed that both of the sides of the building have its original windows from 1920. And sometimes there are people, and this is something I always like to mention just formally, is that doesn't affect our decision, of course, but sometimes it's nice that people are looking for garages this year, they're trying to restore. Maybe they're looking for a source of these original windows or building material. Maybe someone out there might want to contact the owner and move it. The owner's contact information is certainly in here. It's not a reason for us to hold it, of course, but I just think I always like to just kind of make that statement. So if you want to read our minutes or follow our agenda, I think that's always a possibility with a property like that. Because sometimes you just don't get these 100-year-old garages, early auto garages, with the original windows still intact. I don't even think they're broken.
You know? Are they double hung or steel or something like that?
They're wood. Yeah, wood, but they're just kind of those classic four-panel wood garage windows. I mean, I think they're really, especially for someone who's trying to restore a garage and to find the authentic item. This is an opportunity for that. So I would hope that encourage someone in the community to maybe look at those potential options, but I don't think we have a criteria to hold it for historic significance. Not a historic garage, just an old garage. Okay, all right. Okay, so we need a motion for
Robin. I'll make a motion to approve demolition.
I second.
1615 K Avenue Northeast accessory structure.
Okay. On the second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We have one certificate of appropriateness for residential property. I believe this is at the edge of our historic district. Yes, this is at the edge of our historic district, that's what we're looking at. This is at 359 17th Street Southeast. This is what I would call, it's not a street corner, but it's where an alley meets the street. And it's on that corner of Alley and 17th Street, right across the alley from the back of the First Congregational Church. And across 17th Street from Johnson Elementary School playground. So, give everyone kind of a sense of where it is. So, Sylvia or Lauren?
Yep. So, this house was built in 1907. The applicant is requesting to replace two windows, a front attic window which faces the street, and a back kitchen window on the back of the house. And the applicant is requesting to replace both of those wood windows with vinyl windows. This house contributes to the Redmond Park Grand Avenue District and is individually eligible for National Register. As Mark mentioned, here's where it's located. So the front window I have circled there, it's the attic window. And then the next photo shows where the back window is, where the kitchen is. Here's our design guideline.
Yes?
Well, when you're done, I have my hand up.
Okay.
I really do.
We're missing those snacks. So.
So our design guidelines recommend using wood windows, wood for wood.
Is there anything in the packet for this?
No. Is it not?
You don't have anything in your packet? No, it's not in the packet.
I can't
find it. We may have missed it.
We
may have missed it when we can find it for the third time.
I can go print one out really quick while Lauren finishes her presentation, if you guys want to take a look at the application.
Yeah.
Can you just put the application up there?
Does it have to be available to the public beforehand?
The application?
As part of the agenda packet?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
agenda. Yeah, and it was included in a previous version, but we've combined multiple times. Yeah.
So it was in what was sent out.
Correct, but we've had two amendments, so it got missed.
People have had a chance to see it.
Yeah, it's been out there.
All right, just want to clarify that.
So yeah, we can bring it up here.
I bet I know where we can find it.
Yeah.
Okay, so CSPS, right? Okay, very good. Thank you. Thanks, guys, for coming. For later.
We'll see if this will open.
But everyone has good sense where it's seen the overhead map, so, yeah.
I saw one that was for sale just 2 months ago or something.
Yeah, it's really close to the street sidewalk.
It's right next to the church.
Just kind of shoehorned in there. Yeah, Art?
The only question I had was, if it's one application, can we approve one side and not the other?
Yes.
So yeah, we'll get to that.
We can break it up with the two windows, yeah, we can do that.
If it's being fussy, I'm okay with going back to the pictures you had.
I don't think there's any new or like extra things other than what the defining features of the house are.
They didn't provide any images, so there's nothing different.
We all know where it is, let's just take a look at the
picture. I'd like to see the plat again, I'm not, look at it.
The only other thing I was going to mention about the design guidelines is that it does say that you may use other materials than wood on the back side of the house.
Oh, okay.
Now, we all think that the First Congregational has court, you know, they had their old 1928 main church building, and then they have, it's the educational addition is like right on the alley line, you know, right away, and of course, you just presume that's always going to be there, but certainly right now, that. And even if it wasn't there, I want to point out that that back window is just never going to be visible from a public right of way unless you.
I'm sorry, go back to the plat.
Unless you're alley surfing, you know.
So this is 6th Street on the left.
What's that? Right next to the Boys and Girls Club.
Boys and Girls Club is in there. So you see the.
What's the vertical street there?
17.
Johnson, the playground.
Oh, Johnson Elementary. Yeah, okay, I got you.
And east and west on the bottom is Washington Avenue, and up above is Park Avenue. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, I got you.
So this is like as far south a house can get in the historic district.
What's the long vertical building that's on the lower part?
That's the 1928 First Congregational of the Church.
Yes. Yeah.
The long building's the church, the Boys and Girls Club is the one next to it.
Yeah.
It's the building right next door to
the Girls Club.
So, this is kind of, we've talked about this before, but basically, front is prioritized over back, and sides are.
At this time, this picture really works for us because you notice how we have the front on the corner of the alley and the street there. So, you kind of consider the alley side a little bit more of a front in these kinds of situations, but it still negates the value of that back window. I mean, we love them to all be converted to wood, but I don't think we should require the rear window to be wood, but I'm very adamant about the front attic window, though. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want to talk about one window at a time. Do you guys want to make a decision about
Can we go back to the other
staff questions? Staff will finish the presentation here.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. So, I interrupted. I'm sorry.
No problem. So, our recommendation was that vinyl on the back window and denial of vinyl on the front window and requiring wood. So.
Can I speak?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think we should stick with how we normally rule on these, with wood on the front, even though they're third-story small windows. It'll set precedence for any other windows need to get replaced. And I know there's an alley beside the house. From my computer, I can't see the back, but I would be okay with vinyl on the back. Mm-hmm. As long as it stays the same size.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Tim. Can we do one window at a time then?
I would like to mention the applicant wasn't able to be here, but he did want to say that on the front window, he's going to be using a storm window. So he said that you wouldn't be able to see the wood. So.
Can you go back to the elevation?
Well, that's nice to know, but still. Yeah. But the thing is that I'm assuming that the other third floor window to the right is still wood, or is it not? Do we not know?
He didn't give me a clear answer. He thought it was vinyl, but I told him to get back to me, and he hasn't, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, if it's already vinyl, then...
I'd be curious what the windows on the porch are. I mean, I don't think we can pick and choose if other windows that are vinyl, because there's not an existing vinyl window in that space.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
If there was an existing vinyl window that in that opening, that might be an argument.
Yeah, there's a holder now. How recently was this picture taken?
Recently.
Yeah, real recently. Yeah. So there's no window in there right now, which the guidelines are very clear. Mm-hmm. We need to only approve a wood window, I think. So, do we need to have any specifications on approving a wood window that needs to have a... If that's a vinyl on the other third floor window, there's a horizontal element there. Do we want to have any criteria on what kind of wood window as far as... No.
It should be a wood window in proportion to the window adjacent to it.
Yeah. So it has to fill the same space, obviously.
Fill the same space, and it should have
style too.
Have the same appearance. I mean, that looks like a...
Double hung.
Yeah, 1/1 double hung, but at least a 1/1.
So I think we should probably recommend we state that.
And I think both windows should only be approved, the front for... A 1/1 wood window, the back for a vinyl window that matches if it's a 1/1 without modifications to either openings.
Sounds like that's the making.
That sounds like a good motion.
It sounds like kind of, it sounds like the making of a good motion. Wow.
Does that work? I need to restate myself.
Let me just repeat back to you and make sure I'm getting this correctly. So
I highly recommend it, Sophia.
Motion to approve the vinyl window for the rear, and for the front, it should be wood to match the adjacent window.
Stylistically and spatially, right?
Yes, without modification.
Without modification to the opening.
And, should,
and that's the comment for both front and back windows.
Okay.
Could I even add the comment?
And if the back is a 1/1, it should be a 1/1 also.
Matching the style.
And there shouldn't be any impact on the exterior frame around the window. That shouldn't be tampered with. That white frame.
We should never approve something like that.
No, you don't take that terminal. That's a defining feature of the whole house.
Mm-hmm. You want to try and read it back again?
Okay. So, motion to approve a vinyl window on the rear that matches in style with the adjacent windows. And then on the front, motion to approve a wood window matching the style of the adjacent window with both not modifying the window opening.
Yeah, without modifying the window openings.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Whatever that was, I'll say whatever that was. All right, all in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right.
It's been one of those days.
I guess so. Well, guys, I think we got through it. So, the discussion items on the agenda. Proactive preservation. What's wrong?
Mark?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Jim.
Was that our last action item?
Yes, that's our last action item, so if you need to leave...
Then I'm going to bow out if that's okay with you guys.
Okay, thanks, Tim, for phoning in.
All right, see you later.
Yeah, see you later.
I'm sorry you guys don't have cookies.
I know. We miss you.
So are we.
We miss you, too.
Bye.
Okay, Ron.
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know that the National Park System is making some... recommending some changes to how buildings are or things are nominated for it to the register. And Shippo, I think, has made a comment on some of their thoughts about it. And I don't know if you guys have received anything about that. It's a 60-day comment period, but they were looking at rather than one vote for one property, where a property that encompasses more area gets more votes than one vote, one property. And there's a couple other things that Chippewa had mentioned in their comments. And I don't know if they've commented to the National Park Service. That period is open for 60 days, so there's another 30 days left on it. So I'd be interested if if Schiphol sends you guys any information, you know, whether we should comment.
Could you clarify, you're saying that when they come back and want an area to be a National Historic District, that they're talking about giving proportional votes to the size of property or building or something like that?
That's how I read it, yeah.
It would be interesting to see what that criteria is.
When you said votes, who's voting?
Adjacent property owners within the area would be the voting thing. And the other thing that they're commenting on is the fact that if you have making a nomination to the register and adjoining properties object to that, right now you have to get that notarized so that they know that you own the property and that you're disagreeing with and stuff. And they're talking about eliminating that notarization as one of the things. So, I mean, it sounds like some serious changes that are being made, but the word's not getting filtered down to, you know, people that deal with that stuff, so.
I would think at some point they would want to.
And I don't know why they're doing that.
And you said Schiphol's already provided comments?
Well, in the forum that I belong to, Schiphol, one of the historians at the state, made comments about the things I just talked about. She had three things. I don't remember the last one. I was going to try to get more stuff together, but I didn't have a chance to, so.
Can we ask city staff just to kind of call Schiphol and ask?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe bring that to the next meeting?
Yeah.
Any other prior to presentation items or thoughts to?
Well, that's really interesting because I mean I read a couple of things. I haven't, you know, get Preservation Magazine, all that. You haven't seen anything about it?
I don't think this has gotten much notification, you know. Based on the stuff that I've been following online. It seems like it just kind of snuck up on things.
Any other prior to presentation? Open on our ongoing discussion item.
Looks like there's information on the FIS website.
I did want to mention, I actually did list that recently. Are some of the schools, like McKinley School, are those all on the list? Like
they can
ones?
Be. I thought they were already.
Are they?
Yeah, most of the schools on the list.
I think one of the things that we all did when we were putting the priority list together was to really focus on those schools.
Okay. Yeah,
that were older.
I thought so. I just want to make sure.
Which next year, every Cedar Rapids public school building will be 50 years or older, except for Taylor and Viola Gibson. So, you know, we've actually just reached that point now. So.
That's cool.
Because we built a lot of schools between 1950 and 1970. So they would all be eligible.
That's cool.
Except for those two at this point. Mm-hmm. So, something about that. And remember, not just schools, we've also pointed out buildings that were formerly used as public schools that are now being used for other purposes. So.
Like the Buchanan School? Well, that's close now.
Well, a good example would be Isaac Newton Academy, which was formerly Adams School.
Okay.
Or the Lynn County Health Building on E Avenue, which was formerly Formerly School. Okay. Any else? Staff?
We have an announcement. So the CLG grant proposal to find a consultant for the Beaver Woods survey is currently out, but we should be getting proposals in tomorrow. And we'd like to ask that a member of HPC be on our committee to review those proposals and help us select.
So
yes.
I'd volunteer.
Okay.
So that's acceptable to the rest of the committee.
So this is for reviewing the proposals?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On that note, first.
When do you think those proposals may be reviewed?
So we'll get them on Friday. It'll probably
I only sit for another 50 days.
That's why I was just. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's got to be soon because we need to hire someone. I would say it's in the next week or two. So we can set up a time to meet and we'll send you the information that you need.
I'm sorry, my other criteria, it'd have to be at the end of the day to meet.
Yeah, we can make that work.
Okay.
Do you want to get an alternate just in case scheduling wise it doesn't work?
Sure.
I don't know. Is there anyone else interested just in case?
Well, I'll be out of town, so I can't walk. Okay.
Well, we could always just reach out too.
Okay, thank you. Also, number two.
So we also had an announcement that a garage was demolished without a permit. It was at 156 24th Street Drive Southeast, kind of in the Country Club Heights area.
Say that address again.
156 24th Street Drive Southeast.
That kind of just like right off First Avenue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The alley is actually off.
Between First Avenue and Forest Drive.
Well, between Washington High School and the Country Club. Side streets there.
But it would almost be just immediately off of First Avenue before you get to Forest.
It's pretty close to First, to the the alley connects actually to off First Avenue.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. As long as it's between Forest and First.
So there's not really anything this commission can do at this point, but just to let you know that it happened.
We can't send the owners to preservation prison.
No.
Nope.
Can't do that.
Can anything happen? Is there anything that goes back to them? Are they expected to buy a demolition permit for size to cost?
So I believe it's, I think there is like a fee added on to the normal. It's the penalty, but I don't know that for sure.
I was like twice the application fee or something like that.
It just seems like if you're going to, especially if they're like building a new garage or something, you probably add that to your building permit fee or something. I don't know, I guess.
I think that's right, but I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know for sure.
We can always find out probably what the if there's like a penalty or something like that. That's
just write a strongly worded letter.
The owner feels bad. Apparently, he didn't know that you needed a permit. So
he understands why. It's not just because we need to review it, but it's a public safety thing. You can't just wake up and say, I'm going to bring down this building, who knows what might happen.
I'm sorry. It'd be pretty easy for me as a homeowner if I wasn't that involved to go out and tear down a garage without on a Saturday afternoon without asking anybody. Yeah.
What you doing, Josh?
So the last one is just to give you a heads up. The owner of the Czech Cottage is going to be making some renovations to the building, but those do not trigger a review or any sort of approval from either HPC or staff, but he made the comment that he, I'm trying to quote him, that he committed the ultimate sin and put the fake stucco and the wood balcony, and he's now trying, so he did that back then in the 70s, now he's going to restore it. So part of that will include an ADA accessible door that's on the side of the building, the non-street side of the building.
I'll go back and give you guys some background on this real quick. Bob came to Main Street, and Main Street has challenge grants that are offered by the state of Iowa through Main Street. And those challenge grants, you submit and what we do as the Main Street in Cedar Rapids is we ask for local home building owners to submit an application or to do something. The Main Street, a committee reviews those, and then we make a recommendation back to the state of something that we're asking the state to approve. So lots of the Main Streets submit applications, and then the applications are reviewed by the state, by the State Main Street Association, and they basically give grants to specific properties, so they have to meet specific requirements. I believe Bob got $75,000 to do this to Czech Cottage, and so it wasn't kind of through this, but through the Main Street and the intent of Main Street, and through the people who review the application. What Bob is trying to do is to bring his building back into a picture that he had from like the 1910s and 1920s of that building.
Yep.
So everything is on the up and up of what he's trying to do. And there's a review at the end of the work that Bob has to fulfill what he's promised that he would do in order to be able to get the money from the state. And so
I love the idea of what you're describing, but why doesn't this trigger anything for HPC?
So the door, so the Czech Cottage is on your, I'll say north-south is 16, and then C is your east-west. So the ADA accessible door is actually on the side of the building that is not on on a public road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that part then, and then he's not making any sort of impacts that would involve framing, you know, window openings, anything like that, like you would have on the 2-3, I think, projects we've had further north on 16th.
Gotcha. He's actually removing what he put on 45 years ago.
Yeah, no, I love that he's doing it.
You know, Bob is the constant of the universe at Czech Village, because he was one of the guys that started the concept of Czech Village back in 74, 75, 76 when I was growing up. And of course, in those days, they thought Czech Village should look like a Disneyland concept, where they would cover, make it look like European buildings and put stucco and flower boxes. And they were never authentic to the actual original architecture.
So that cobblestone is coming off the bottom.
Yeah,
that
horrible. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
Let me mention one thing about there's the challenge grants from the state too, because these are things that go back to the state, and not every challenge grant, you know, they have $750,000 a year, sometimes maybe $1 million that they give out. In Cedar Rapids, the projects that we've submitted in the last 9 years include the building that Fong's Pizza is in, that was owned by the Chathamas. That was the first one that we received. I think that received $50,000. The other buildings that received challenge grants from the state were the two buildings that John Jelinek owned, Rule, and that little cottage next to it. They received money. And that little cottage is pretty cool. If you ever saw it, the walls, actually the center part of the walls between the studs, actually is brick. Yeah. And that's what they installed in buildings at that time in order to insulate the building. So it had wood on the outside, wood on the inside, but there was actually two rides of brick in the wall. Yeah. The other building that received it, that we actually as Main Street submitted two different times to the state, was the old White Elephant building. And they paid to move the White Elephant building from where it was, across from the gazebo, kind of in that area, down to where it is now. And that was put on city property, and that was done by, and I'm just blanked on their name.
Primus.
Yes, it was Primus, but who's the property owners? It was
Taboobs.
Taboobs, yeah. So it's really pretty cool, because if you think about it, in the 9 or 10 years that Main Street's been around, from the state of Iowa, I think we've gotten over $275,000 worth of challenge grants for these projects. So it's pretty significant.
Yeah, and so critical in our flood recovery.
Yeah. And I think every project that money was given to probably would not have happened without it.
Yeah.
FYI.
We're proud of it, supported by everybody involved.
That's
great.
That was it from staff.
Okay. Unless there's any other business announcements, we need to have an official motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
I second that motion.
All in favor of adjourning and moving on.
Okay.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being accommodating for the off-schedule.
Are we meeting on the 11th also?
No.
No.
No, because we have enough time. Good Friday is not considered a business day, so if there was a demo app or a facade modification to come in, you have 15 business days, and we're fine by
we won't miss the property.